So I'm going to do a podcast on the Foundation Trilogy. This book took me about 10 years to read, maybe even 12. And I have to be honest, it's not one of my favorite books. I have to just be honest, this is not something I'm doing backflips over. But it is a important book because it has an important idea in it, which it's an important idea for especially right now. Although, let's get some background on Isaac Asimov. He had a PhD in chemistry. He was a very brilliant man, but not exactly someone I would hold up to the most ethical standards. Like, he had these weird ideas, which actually got to the creation of Trantor, so I can't really be too mad about it, which is one of the most beautiful parts of the book is Trantor. Like, you can really view it, which Trantor is the galaxy's capital. And Isaac Asimov had this idea that overpopulation was going to, like, exponentiate every, like, 80 years or something like that, and by some like year within like the millennium we'd have like trillions of people on Earth. And he was like advocating birth control and all this other stuff, you know. He was a very strange man, very eccentric. Not, again, one of my favorite authors, but he is very prolific. He wrote somewhere in a neighborhood of 500 books, a little less than that. He was one of the most prolific authors, if not probably the person who wrote more books. I don't know of anybody else who wrote as many books as him. And he was very smart. Like, this man had a IQ far significantly higher than I did. And of course, his musings brought us this wonderful creation, the Foundation Trilogy, which I know I say it's not one of my favorite books, but neither is Candide, neither is The Pearl. They're exceptional books. They're important books just because we don't necessarily vibe with an author, just because we don't necessarily appreciate their work fully does not mean that we have to sit there and trash it. Like, I'm not really too fond of A Tale of Two Cities either, but it's an important book and you have to realize and put it into context that just because you don't like something does not mean that it's not significant. And of course, some of the reasons why I don't like Isaac Asimov's Foundation Trilogy is just because Isaac Asimov had some very unethical ideas that I just find it hard to vibe with. But now that spiel's out of the way, so Foundation Trilogy is about this Selden plan, which is this mathematical prediction of human movements in large bodies that can like generate specific predictions for human behavior. And at the end of the book, we start to realize that this Selden plan, it needs to be manipulated and like recalculated every so often. And this is like something we realize, which is, the Selden plan was really cool. I actually like that part of the book. I wish you would have stuck with it. But then it gets to the mule and all Cain flies off and it just goes off course. And you know, it was an interesting book from the premise that like we can predict social movements through like large masses of people, because me being very sociologically minded, like I have this ability to predict the future. Call it prophecy. I don't necessarily think it's prophecy. I think it's just the ability to like calculate things and know the consequences of behaviors that will inevitably create cause and effect chains to the future. And that's why I like the Selden plan, because it's like trying to stop these chains from having like, I think it's something like 30,000 years of a dark age. And I like this idea because I think it's real. I think there is an ability to calculate and predict human behavior in collective, although I don't think it has to be trillions of people. I think it can just be any society, generally speaking. So at the end of the book, the Selden plan, it succeeds because there's this sort of, it's not really expressly stated, but it's an enthymeme that the foundation that we basically follow throughout the whole book, it takes one arm of the galaxy and it conquers it. And you have to like kind of like fill in the blanks that all the other spirals are also have foundations in them and that they've conquered those too. And so like the big idea is that there's two foundations, and the one foundation is the foundation at the far edge of the galaxy, and then there's another one at the other end of the galaxy, which the big reveal at the end is that this really obnoxious character thinks, oh, the second foundation is on planet where the foundation originally was from, but it's not, it's actually Trantor. And I hate to spoil that for you, but again, it was a significant book. I'm gonna get into why it's significant, but I had to get through all that. It's a significant book because it catalogs true social failure. Like, this is how societies actually function. What he's talking about is a real aspect of life. And it's something that actually the prophets talk about, like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel are about this same thing. Social decline and anomie, and basically falling away from the philosophers and sages have talked about this too. You have Lao Tzu, it's what the Tao is staying on the way. Because if you divert off that path, it creates chaos and it creates instability and it creates dark ages. And I think it's important that we understand this concept, because what Isaac Asimov did was he took the Roman Empire and its decline 9, and he basically turned it into a book, and then he flipped it where he's like, okay, we're going to go through the Middle Ages, but we're going to, like, reconstruct the empire at the end of the story, which is really interesting because, like, this is how societies actually function. If you want to know how social movements work, the Selden Plan is a very good way of understanding it, that there are ways of predicting social behavior en masse. And if you want to prevent a dark age, you have to, and Isaac Asimov gets to this point where he's like, you have to, like, consolidate power. I don't believe its power has anything to do with it. In my particular belief, it has more to do with following the way, following the law, which, you know, you might say, well, the Middle Ages they were catastrophic. It's like, yes, they were, but that's not necessarily what Christianity is supposed to be. In fact, the Middle Ages was more the remnants of paganism still having its effect on society. If you study the Middle Ages, it was very much the remnants of paganism and its really harsh attitude inflicting upon this long thousand-year period of history, which got rectified in about, I'd say, the Renaissance, but that was actually a very tumultuous time too, probably one of the worst times to be alive. I'd say around the Enlightenment, around the 18th and 19th centuries, this is when we started seeing the burgeons of a better world. And what really brought this better world into being was the idea of a solid social construct that was founded in God's law, but also science. If you study the founding fathers of America, who successfully established a regime that I think was good, versus like over in France, they tried to remove God from their regime and ended up inculcating terror. The idea is that there's a way of being, a way of acting that's right. And this is, again, found in Eastern philosophy. This is found in Western philosophy. Western philosophy, it's logos. Eastern philosophy, it's Tao. I'm sure you can find the same concept over in the Americas somewhere. It's this general prevailing idea of the universal way, that this way creates stability. And when you divert off this way, it creates instability. And you can kind of predict societies based on this measurement of seeing how discordant the society gets when, again, decadence takes control, which is something that he does talk about. Is decadence is like the, of course, he ascribes it to the leaders, but it's much deeper than that. It's when leaders are always decadent. It's when it gets into a societal level. It's when that decadence, that desire for ugly and disgusting things and for like bodily functions over form and things like that, when that becomes embedded in the population, that's usually when these things start to happen. And then there's usually a counter movement, which he didn't really get into that, but I'll tell you anyways, there's usually a counter movement that's, you know, it's neither really good nor bad, but that's just generally how civilizations work. And I think the Foundation Trilogy really has a realistic approach to political science, especially long-term political science, which is something I would like people to do today, is like really look at their behavior and just say to themselves, like, maybe this is not the best way to be, and we should probably be looking at something more sustainable. And I don't mean that in an environmental way, although you can say that too, but I think we need a more sustainable philosophy that's going to, in a sense, create a better world. And that's what the Foundation's about. Although he says it's technology, it's not just technology, it's also philosophy. And that philosophy is rooted in basically principles that are as old as, you know, Mesopotamia. They're hard to come by for a lot of people, but in a sense, civilizations all over the world have been repeating them over and over again, and we really need to take notice of that, because obviously these civilizations have these ideas usually around the time when the empire does collapse. And they're like, wait, it was better then, and this is what we did, and that's generally what I have to say about that.